always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday evening by Jovan Buha of the Buha's Block and of the Lakers Collective. And Jovan, it struck me as you were getting ready to hop on here that I never recapped the season. we just dove right in.
It's a good thing to do. Yeah, recap the season.
Right. It's like
it's a couple days late. It's okay.
We had the because like the way that it played out in my brain, it was like, all right, well, we had the season ended and you kind of recap the game, recap the series, and then the next day you had JJ and Rob speak. And then Harrison is on the show. And so Harrison just kind of guides the show wherever he wants to go. And I was like, shit, I've never
run it back. that's what I think of when I think of Harrison.
Just constantly. It's a good thing he doesn't have access to the sounders and to the clips on the show, cause he would just keep at that. So, today we are going to look back on this season and try to decide whether or not we consider it a success. We will also look ahead, to the offseason that is to come. And I think the reason that I jumped straight into offseason mode is because it's such a critical offseason, right? And because last year felt like such a placeholder type season, now is when the season really kind of gets going, or the Luka era really kind of gets going. So we'll take a look at what that's looking like. We've had some fun reporting on the relationship between LeBron and the Lakers that I'm sure will come up at some point over the course of the show as well. But yeah, bud, how you holding up? How'd the season treat you? Are you rested and ready for it? It's funny. All of my friends, I know you get the same thing. All of my friends and family go like, it must feel good that the season is over. And I'm like, this isn't, I don't get to kick my feet up.
No. We could get to that point in like late July. I would say you have like late July to early September is our off season from like a content creation and reporting perspective. But things are good. I took a little sabbatical for like a day and a half and just didn't reply to any texts. Didn't do any. I still did some interviews, but like I that's like my version of taking a break is I didn't do anything on my show or channel. And I'm feeling, better, I would say, than I did a couple of days ago. Coming off of game four, it was like a 4-hour night for me. I went to bed at 5, got up at 9 for exit interviews. So I would say I'm doing better than then, but excited to dive into all the off-season stuff and recap the season.
All right, so quick reminder before we do that, please hit like, please hit subscribe, turn on notifications for the channel. This show is brought to you in video form in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 of free lineups when you sign up and play a $5 lineup of your own. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. But I do not care where it is that you get them. They all count the same to me. All right. So, this season was interesting. And I keep on framing it, at least to myself, from the standpoint of I think it was a success given the parameters that they operated under or that they kind of set for themselves. But I also can't help but wonder if years down the road, they might regret setting those parameters. And whether last season when Austin was on such a cheap contract compared to what he's going to get paid this summer with LeBron still playing at the level that he was playing at and with Luka even at the number that he was at compared to where, when his extension kicks in, whether that might have been the best opportunity that the Lakers had to really kind of go for it. Also, before Wemby really kind of comes into his own, right, in this upcoming, like, we're looking at, I believe, the rise of the next, you know, best in the world, who's going to hold that mantle for quite some time. It looks like OKC doesn't look like they're going anywhere. Maybe this was an opportunity to maybe get at them. How are you going to remember this season?
It's a good question. I think I really like what you said about the parameters, because I've been saying something along those lines too, in terms of, I think based on those parameters, they knocked it out of the park. But my counter argument has been, I don't think they had to put those parameters on themselves. And mm-hmm. I think the people who solely base their analysis of the season or their moves under those parameters, like, sure, it's going to be like an A+, but when you factor in, they could have been more aggressive in trying to improve the roster. They could have tried to get off of certain contracts or invested more in the roster with draft capital. Then that's where I think that grade, you know, dips a bit. But I think the first word that comes to mind is resiliency. I think there were several mm-hmm. points this season where the Lakers could have just let go of the rope, or things could have unraveled based on half of the roster being impending free agents, and not only half the roster, but two of their top three players being impending free agents, and like multiple. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, just think about, I would say that the Lakers on balance, six best players this season were Luka, LeBron, Austin, Marcus, Rui, and DA. Five of those guys are free agents. And then if you want to even keep extending that, it's like Luke's a free agent, Jackson's a free agent. So it's not just like that they're half the roster is free agents. It's basically like the prominent part of the rotation, with the exception of Luka, are all free agents. So with guys playing for contracts and guys playing for their status within the team, that could have gone a variety of directions. And there were points of the season it looked like it was potentially going mm-hmm. in some of those directions, but they found a way to rally. I've been breaking the Lakers season up into three chunks, where you have the 15-4 start, which LeBron misses a part of that. It comes back. They have that 7-game mm-hmm. win streak. December 1st, everything falls off the rails. From December 1st through late February, they go 19-20. They have a prolonged stretch midway through the season. They are under 500. They lose basically every big game they play. And then right after like the low point of the season, they have that 3-game losing streak with Boston and Orlando and Phoenix. They find another gear and go to a completely different level that I think we all thought was in there, but we just had not seen it like 2/3 of the way through the season. And then they have the 16-2 stretch. They close the season 19-5 overall. Luka and Austin go out, but then they continue that momentum they had to close the season, win the first round series, and then lose in four to Oklahoma City. So I think if we just look at it objectively, they won more games. They won more playoff games and went further in the postseason. We saw some real progress with the big three. Luka was better than he was last season. Austin was better than he was last season. JJ was better than he was last season. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot to like, and a lot, I think Rob used the term proud but not satisfied. I think that's an appropriate way to categorize the season. At the same time, I think we saw like that there's a pretty big gap between them and OKC, and don't quite know how big the gap is, but between them and San Antonio, but like San Antonio might beat OKC or give them the, you know, most competitive series by far that they've had so far in the playoffs. So it's like those two teams right now are not going anywhere. They both should be notably better next year and potentially right. even better the next 2 to 3 years. So it's like, the Lakers have a big challenge ahead of them in terms of getting to that level. And that's why, as you said a bit earlier, like this is a huge offseason.
Yeah, it just reminds me of when I was in school. I was like relatively smart, but I was lazy. And I would pass a quiz or something like that, and I would get like an 85 or something. And I would come home with a quiz or with a test and be like, hell yeah, I'd got an 85 on a test I didn't even study for. And my dad would be like, okay, but like, try studying, you know, like imagine what you could do if you studied. And I feel like that's how the Lakers are kind of looking at the season. It's like, hell yeah, we showed resiliency, and fans like wound up liking this. I am going to miss this team because of the resiliency that you kind of talked about. The way that they, you know, did rally. I remember coming out of the trade deadline after they didn't do anything, and it looked like a team that had let go of the rope so often in so many of their games and gotten blown out. It looked like they were going to let go of the season altogether. And then, like you said, they make that turnaround. LeBron accepts that third role kind of, option three role that he played in, and the Lakers turn things around, go 16-2, and then, you know, win that series against Houston. And it's like, yeah, like that was great. That was a really fun season, you know, for a team that didn't really prepare for this season specifically. They had their mind on next year. And I'm always going to kind of like, I always just kind of hear my dad's voice in the back of my head here saying like, yeah, but imagine if you cared about this season, like imagine what that could look like. And, you know, some people might say, well, Luka got hurt anyway, and Austin got hurt anyway. So if they would have traded for stuff at the deadline, those guys get hurt. You don't know that that's actually how it's going to play out. I would maybe even argue that if they had improved the roster by more than just Luke Kennard, that maybe those guys don't have to play as hard and as many minutes as they did towards the end of the season. And maybe they don't wear down, and maybe they're available for these playoffs. We'll never know. But I do think from the perspective of how I'll remember the team and the guys, I think it was a very successful season. I it was fun to watch this team kind of rally around each other to the extent that they did. From a JJ Redick perspective, I think it was also really kind of fun to watch him really kind of grow on the job. And I thought he was significantly better in year two than year one, especially in the playoffs. And then, you know, from the front office perspective, again, they did the best with what they allowed themselves to do. But I'm also always going to kind of wonder, like, as I have for the last basically three or four LeBron seasons, what could that season have looked like if you committed a few more chips to the middle of the pot with LeBron over the last few years, and now with Luka and LeBron on the same roster, which is probably, Jovan, why we've gotten some of the reports over the last week or so that seem to be kind of from LeBron's side of it. You know, the reporting seems to be or reflect what LeBron thinks of the situation that he finds himself in, what Clutch seems to find itself in. And I do kind of, you know, the Lakers are going into this offseason and would be hugely beneficial to them if LeBron accepted the kind of contract that he is going to have to sign if he does leave and he goes to Golden State, or if he went to Cleveland, he would probably be on a mid-level there. And if the Lakers had maybe committed more chips to the pot over the course of the last few years, and that question from LeBron of like, hey, are you guys ever going to try while I'm here? Maybe he would feel a little bit better or different about, you know, leaving some money on the table and signing up for whatever this roster might look like. And I don't know if that's how you've been kind of reading the situation, but as we've been hearing about how annoyed he was at game balls and all of these other things, like those seem like annoyances that pop up as like final straws on camel's backs, you know, and I feel like the real problem, the real crux of the issue here, if there is one between, we know that there probably is one between LeBron and the Lakers, is that he probably feels like he's been kind of yanked around for the last 3 years or so.
I agree. I think it's a complicated relationship, to say the least, right? And I think both sides have their grievance points, that makes sense, right? And I think both sides have their arguments for why they've been wronged or taken advantage of or whatever. But I think objectively, if we take a step back and just look at the last few years, like the Lakers have not put together championship level teams for several years now. And I really don't think there's an argument against just plainly stating like they have mismanaged the end of the LeBron James era. And now, I mean, the LeBron era is you know, sort of over in a way because it's now the Luka era, right? And they're on a new timeline with Luka. Now Luka's in his prime. So in theory, they should be going for it now and should be trying to put the best possible team around him now and not thinking about the future. But you just look at like post Westbrook trade through, we'll say January 31st, 2025, like the Lakers did not get anywhere close to putting a championship level roster around LeBron and AD. And that I think is disappointing. And so I don't want to get too much into the interpersonal stuff. And sure, have there been some things that have rubbed both sides the wrong way? And are there things that Lakers could have done better? Are there things LeBron could have done better? Like, yes, I think both of those things are true. I just think the primary thing, and we even heard this when he opted in last summer, was like he wants to be on a championship level team. And I just don't think they have truly invested to the maximum degree and have been in this like sort of no man's land of they're good. They are going to push for high 40s, low 50s wins. They might win a round, but they're not actually going to be competing for a championship. And they've been stuck in that purgatory dating back to 2022. And I think at this point, like when he feels like he hasn't been given a proper shake for like the roster and the investment, and then now they're coming at his money too. It's like at some point, I think he feels a bit disrespected. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the contract stuff plays out this summer.
It is fascinating how this could play out for LeBron, because we know he's extremely prideful when it comes to, like, let's get this out of the way. No matter what number he plays at next year, even if it's a max, is probably a discount compared to the amount of revenue he's going to generate for whatever team that he plays for, right? Because it's probably going to be a farewell tour. There's probably going to be all kinds of coverage. Their tickets are going to sell out like crazy. The ratings on all of the games that he plays in next year are going to be out of this world, right? Every single arena that he goes to next year, if this is a farewell tour, is going to be packed, you know, and it'll be in part because he'll be out on that court. So like if you're LeBron and you know that you're going to generate X amount of revenue, and meanwhile, you're looking at a season where you're probably playing on a contract at most, probably like $30 million at like most, I don't think he's getting much more than that. You're probably saying, well, wait, why would I play? You know, like, and by the way, if he plays on this Lakers roster, if he plays in Golden State, if he plays in Cleveland, I don't know that he would walk into any of those situations and be like, yep, we're definitely winning a championship here. We're definitely better than OKC. We're definitely better than San Antonio. Might not even be better than New York or Detroit. I guess he technically could sign for the minimum in New York. But yeah, it's his decision is going to be fascinating whenever he makes it. And by the way, he's going to have to make it relatively quickly, because either he's going to make a decision and he and the Lakers are going to land on a number before the draft, or the Lakers are just going to renounce his rights. Like they're just going to, cause they have to open up the cap space that they're hoping to operate with this year, and they can't operate with that cap space so long as LeBron's cap hold is on their books. So as much as Rob Pelinka wants to say that, like, yeah, we want to honor LeBron by giving him as much time as he needs to make this decision, he's also kind of sort of looking at his phone like, all right, man, like, all right, Rich, what are we doing? You know, and that's another like element of all of this that's going to be fascinating. So and like the other thing too, like just to really, really quickly wrap up the you know, whether or not this season is a success. By the Lakers' own definition, it wasn't a success, right? They didn't actually, not only did they not win a championship, but they haven't vied for a championship, as you kind of talked about over the last few years. And for LeBron, he has done enough to keep his body in good enough shape to compete for a championship. He has upheld his end of that bargain, and year in, year out, he's watched the Lakers draft Jalen Hood-Schifino, and he watched them draft Dalton Knecht, rather than use those picks on guys who would help win now. And not only did they not use those picks on guys who would help win now, but those guys also, Jalen Huchefino is basically out of the league. Dalton Kincaid is probably going to be in a different organization next year, you know, and hasn't, you know, the Lakers don't have much to show for that stuff. And you know, if you're LeBron, you're kind of like, I don't know what else I was supposed to do here, you know? And if anything, if I'm LeBron, I'm annoyed at the fact that he operated in Miami and in Cleveland twice over by with shorter term contracts, and he held the organization's feet to the fire. And that led to trip after trip after trip to the finals. He didn't do that with the Lakers for whatever reason. And it led to a very mid-tier experience here with the Lakers, to an extent where the discussion over this over the last couple of days has been, was LeBron's Lakers tenure a failure? And is that, does that reflect poorly on LeBron? And it's like, if I'm LeBron, I'm saying, why would it reflect poorly on me? I did my job. Those guys didn't.
I mean, the whole conversation about is it a failure is silly to me. Like, you won a championship. I think based on the past or the 8 prior years of LeBron's playoff career going into his Lakers tenure, right? It was 8 straight finals, and he went 3-5 in those finals. Sure, like by that standard, I think failure is too binary to me. Like, if we are going to speak that binary, then I would say it's not a failure. If you want to have some shades of gray, like, I would say it was probably a 65th percent. Like, this whole tenure has been like a 65th like percentile, a maybe 70th percentile, where you made, you know, won a championship and you made a conference finals. But if you, like, if you just kind of told me the, if you said LeBron, like, go back to 2018 and you know, we'll have someone come from the future, or, you know, go back to our previous selves and say, hey, LeBron's going to be in LA for 8 years. He's going to play with Anthony Davis for 5 years. He's going to play with Luka Doncic for a couple years. And without any context, really, it's just kind of those basic things, you'd be like, oh, LeBron won like 3 championships, maybe they, or they are perennially like a Western Conference Finals team. Like, that would be how you would expect that to have gone. And maybe there's a year or two where they come a little short, but come up short.
And then you say, but he also played with Russell Westbrook. Oh, shoot. All right.
Well, I left out that part. but I mean, that's actually a pretty big part of it. I don't know. Even just like the LeBron AD tenure, like if you think about 2019 through 2025, like they have one championship and one conference finals, and then the other 4 years it was first round exits or missing the playoffs entirely. And that just with two players of that caliber who are, I think in totality, if you aggregated their like overall ranks in, like, those are two top 10 players for 5 years together, that you just didn't have a, I mean, I don't want to say you don't have a lot to show for it, because a championship is a championship, but I just mean, like, in general, that should have been a perennial Western Conference Finals team, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky here. I agree that, like, you need to be able to dive into the shades of gray, because from a Lakers standpoint, if they have, like, historically, if they've had a superstar of LeBron's stature, that player wins multiple championships. So by the Lakers' own definition, historically, this wasn't the overwhelming success that it probably maybe should have been. And then from LeBron's standpoint, you know, he goes somewhere, he wins at least the one championship, maybe even two, especially if he has a teammate of LeBron, of Anthony Davis's. But it's also funny because the one championship that they won probably cost them a real opportunity at future championships, because you saw how long it took all four of those teams to recover from the bubble and from the quick turnaround that they had the following year. And their best chance really at a championship in terms of the personnel on their team was the following year. Unfortunately, that season started 5 business days later. So, like, you know, and that's an older LeBron. it's an Anthony Davis who, you know, has his own injury concerns and stuff like that. And that those guys weren't able to hold up. So I don't
Solomon
know.
Hill.
Yeah, man, he's in that like Tim Thomas range, you know, like I can't hear the name Solomon Hill or Tim Thomas and not attach an F word to the beginning or the end of it. But yeah, like with the other stat that I think is also, you know, kind of telling is that like of the cores over the last, like, what is it, 5 or 6 years since the 2020 championship, of those cores that have won a ring in that time, only the Lakers and Oklahoma City Thunder like have gotten back even to a conference championship. We're living in this like era of parity, and how many of those teams
and the
like
Lakers were a much different team, that like new coach,
yeah,
basically entirely new roster outside of LeBron and AD. So it right. was like a complete, whereas, you know, OKC is like the one team to go back actually in like the, you know, the following season to have a championship defense. So, I mean, it's just, it's changed. It's changed recently.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you factor it all, you kind of throw it all together, and I'm going to look back on the LeBron era, if it is indeed over, and I'm going to look back on it, you know, and think it was a success. That 2020 championship meant so much, you know, when you consider everything that was going on, not just in, you know, in the world, obviously with COVID and stuff like that, but in Los Angeles specifically, you lose Kobe that year and sports shut down, and, you know, there's all of the question as to like, will things ever open back up again? And really for LA sports fans, that team was something that we could all kind of rally around, and that I, you know, and LeBron was at the center of all of that, you know, and that's why it's been kind of a bummer to see that relationship kind of erode to the point where we are right now, where LeBron is talking about, you know, there are leaks about frustrations over who gets game balls, and there are leaks coming out about frustrations over having to employ Bronny, and these are the kinds of back and forths you'll see in the media that kind of precede some negotiations that might get somewhat contentious, and how do you see this playing out? Like, I've thought all year, just based on his options, that I think LeBron is going to be back. But with kind of the sniping back and forth over the last week or so, it has made me wonder a little bit more than maybe I thought I was going to coming into the offseason.
There has been a lot of stuff coming out, what we'll say, in the last few days, right? In the aftermath of the season. Now, I don't think that's necessarily unique. I think that typically happens, especially with the Lakers, and I've been a part of a couple of those postseason stories, aftermath stories, autopsies. So I get it, and I think that's just part of the media cycle. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers approach this, because I do think if you go back to last offseason, there was no conversation about the extension or furthering the partnership. And it does feel like the messaging that has been coming out from Clutch and the LeBron side of things has been more, we want to be courted. We want LeBron to feel respected. And it's not as simple as just saying, hey, we can offer you more than everybody else, so take this discount. It's actually like it starts at, we, you know, or LeBron viewing it as like, I'm worth X, which could be 40, 45, 50, whatever he thinks that number is. I was an all-star. I was the best player on a undermanned group that won a first round series. I was the best player on the team for the entirety of the playoffs. I deserve X amount of money. And it's on the Lakers to court him and to make him feel a certain way and to drive that price down and be like, yes, we understand from just like a pure production perspective and just how great you still are, you're worth X, But for us to build a championship roster, which you've talked about, that's still like your primary goal, we need you to take Y. And if you take Y, we can do Z and A and B and C and build out this roster. Because the Lakers could pay LeBron $50 million. If they pay LeBron $50 million, I mean, they could technically go over the cap with some of the guys with bird rights, but then you're at best just running it back and maybe making like one small addition. At worst, you're still losing a couple of your key free agents and then running it back with like a worse roster, or maybe you made like a small tweak, but you're still probably just as good as now, if not like a little bit worse. So they have to get him, they have to find a way to convince him to take probably like half of what he thinks he's worth. And it's going to be interesting to see, because especially with some of the stuff that came out from that ESPN article, I don't know, like it feels like the Lakers aren't necessarily going to go out of their way to do that. And I am also going to be curious to see who the messenger is in terms of from the Lakers side, like who is potentially the one trying to court him or you know, whatever. So I would still err on the side of him returning, but it does feel like, with how much of a push has come out, and even his comment about being like the third option in his exit interview, I just think it's clear that that was, you know, just something that like he embraced and he did in the moment, and he thrived in that role, but clearly was not something that he anticipated having to do this season, nor necessarily wanted to do. So I think, like the more I talk about it, the more I start to like kind of talk myself out of him returning, but I'm going to like continue to base it in reality in that, like, I just think they're gonna come to some sort of agreement, or that would be my prediction right now. But certainly it could also go off the rails at any moment. And like, if it gets too contentious, or if the Lakers aren't willing to try to massage the situation and are just playing like, hey, we think you're worth $25 million. Here's an offer. Like, then I could see where that goes south very quickly, and he decides to pivot and go elsewhere.